Now, direct from CBS News, this Radio Net Alert Bulletin.
This is Hal Walker, CBS News, at the White House. Just moments ago, the White House released a statement that contains the decision of President Nixon regarding the Watergate tapes. The deadline for those tapes was just about 3.5 hours away, and the White House has determined, President Nixon says, with the greatest reluctance, he has decided that he will not appeal the case to the Supreme Court. I read now from partly from a statement issued here by the White House just moments ago, a statement by the President, in which he says, with the greatest reluctance, I have concluded that in this one instance I must permit a breach in the confidentiality that is so necessary to the conduct of the presidency. Accordingly, the Attorney General made what he regarded as a reasonable proposal for compromise, and one that goes beyond what any president in history has offered. It was a proposal that would comply with the spirit of the decision of the Court of Appeals. That decision being that upholding the lower court decision of District Judge John Sirica that the president should make the Watergate tapes available to the court. The proposal, according to the statement as it continues, was that as quickly as the materials could be prepared, there would be submitted to Judge John Sirica, through a statement prepared by me personally, that's the President speaking, from the subpoenaed tapes, a full disclosure of everything contained in those tapes that has any bearing on Watergate. This information, thus authenticated, no longer reading from the statement, but this information, thus authenticated, said Mr. Nixon, will be made available to both Special Watergate Prosecutor Archibald Cox and to the Senate Watergate Committee. The decision was made here at the White House after a meeting lasting some 40 minutes in which Senator Sam Ervin, chairman of the Senate Watergate Committee, and Senator Howard Baker, the vice chairman, were present with the president in the Oval Office of the White House. I repeat, the bottom line is that there will not be the constitutional confrontation over the subpoenaed Watergate tapes. Based on a decision made in the White House and released just moments ago, President Nixon, in a compromise, will make information from those controversial Watergate tapes available to both Special Watergate Prosecutor Archibald Cox and to the Senate Watergate Committee. This is Hal Walker, CBS News, with a special report from the White House.
This Net Alert Bulletin has come to you from CBS News. We now resume the regular program schedule on this CBS Radio Net Alert station.
Now, direct from CBS News, this Radio Net Alert Bulletin.
This is Neil Strauser, CBS News at the White House. The dispute over President Nixon's orders to Special Watergate Prosecutor Archibald Cox to cease all court efforts to obtain those tapes of presidential conversations, that dispute tonight has led to the discharge of Archibald Cox, the resignation of Attorney General Elliot Richardson, and the discharge of the Deputy Attorney General William Ruckelshaus. The announcement has just come from Ronald Ziegler, the new Secretary of the President. Ziegler first announcing that the President has discharged Cox because of Cox's refusal to comply with those orders and because Cox has indicated he will defy them and go on to seek a further decision from the courts on this disposition of those tapes. Then, according to Ziegler, according to the new Secretary Ziegler, Elliot Richardson met with the president for about 30 minutes this afternoon and told the president that he felt the order to Cox was inconsistent with the obligation Richardson assumed when he was confirmed by the Senate, Richardson having given the Senate assurances that Cox would have broad authority, independence, to carry out his duties as a special prosecutor. Therefore, Richardson has now resigned. And Ziegler added, when William Ruckelshaus, the Deputy Attorney General, refused to carry out the order to tell Cox that he had been discharged, Ruckelshaus also was discharged. Ziegler adding that now the Office of Special Prosecutor has been abolished. All that has been returned to the Justice Department to be carried out in the normal course of its duties, he said. So, from Ron Ziegler at the White House, the announcement tonight that Archibald Cox has been discharged as special prosecutor for the Watergate affair, that Elliot Richardson has resigned in protest over the orders given to Cox, and that Deputy Attorney General William Ruckelshaus has also been discharged because he refused to tell Cox that he has been discharged.
This is Neil Strauser, CBS News, at the White House.
CBS News, good evening. This is David Jackson reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The dispute over those secret presidential Watergate tapes has produced more casualties. White House spokesman Ronald Ziegler announcing tonight that special Watergate prosecutor Archibald Cox has been fired. Cox's office in Washington has reportedly been sealed, and none of his staff is being allowed in. Ziegler also announced tonight that Attorney General Elliot Richardson has resigned his office in protest. In addition, Deputy Attorney General William Ruckelshaus has been dismissed by the president because, according to Ziegler, Ruckelshaus refused to carry out the president's order to fire Cox. Cox's dismissal comes after his defiance of a presidential order telling him not to undertake any further legal action to compel the release of the presidential Watergate tapes. That order came in a compromise plan announced last night that would have had the president supply Cox and the Watergate committee with summaries of the tapes, authenticated by Mississippi's John Stennis. Cox called that compromise a non-compliance with an appeals court order that the president release the tapes, and Cox had threatened to ask for a contempt citation against the president. The man who officially fired Cox and Ruckelshaus, Solicitor General Robert Bork, has been named by the president to be acting attorney general. Fred Graham in Washington has this profile.
The Justice Department had just handed out a picture of a serious-looking middle-aged man with horn-rimmed glasses and a beard. He is Robert H. Bork, the new acting Attorney General of the United States. According to a personal history statement also issued with the picture, Bork was born in 1927 in Pittsburgh, is a former Marine and Yale law professor, and was the third-ranking official in the Justice Department when this day began. What it doesn't say is that he has a reputation as a bright but very conservative professor who wrote articles favoring Richard Nixon when he ran for president in 1968. I've just left the Justice Department where there's an air of unreality. A group of reporters walked down the dim corridor a few minutes ago and pounded on the door of the Attorney General's office, where they were told Acting Attorney General Bork was meeting with members of the Justice Department staff. Bork has said he would not meet with the press tonight, but issued a statement about his act of firing Special Prosecutor Archibald Cox. All I will say is that I carried out the president's directive, Bork said through a spokesman. Fred Graham, CBS News, Washington.
In addition to firing Cox, the administration abolished the office of Special Prosecutor, the duties of that office now in the hands of the Justice Department. This move is bound to stir controversy in the Senate. The Senate set up the office in the first place, voicing a lack of confidence in the administration's ability to investigate itself. Senator Alan Cranston, Democrat from California, reacted with surprise to this evening's announcements.
I'm shocked and startled, as I'm sure every American is, by the events that have unfolded in Washington today. The resignation of Mr. Richardson and Mr. Cox and Ruckelshaus are being fired. Seems to me to mean that three of the very best men in the Nixon administration have been ousted from it because they put loyalty to the law of our land above loyalty to Richard Nixon, unlike Mr. Ehrlichman and Mr. Haldeman and others who were involved in the Watergate affair.
Howard Baker, ranking Republican on the Senate Watergate Committee, reacted to tonight's announcements, expressing optimism that the work of the Special Prosecutor's Office would go on.
The action that the prosecutions or the investigations have been undertaken by the Special Prosecutor's Office no doubt will go forward some way, and whether with another Special Prosecutor or as a part of the traditional functions of the Justice Department is a matter we simply don't know. Whether the president will suggest another special prosecutor or the new acting attorney general will do so, we also don't know. So I think we're in for a few days of careful analysis and maybe heated controversy, and I'd rather not speculate any further than that for the moment.
Tennessee Republican Howard Baker.
This is a CBS News special report. Departures from the Justice Department, the latest chapter in Watergate. I'm Neil Strauser, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Tonight, still another extraordinary chapter in the extraordinary and continuing story of Watergate.
President Nixon has fired Watergate Special Prosecutor Archibald Cox and Deputy Attorney General William Ruckelshaus, and the Attorney General, Elliot Richardson, has resigned, all in the dispute over Mr. Nixon's order to Cox to cease all court actions aimed at obtaining those tapes of presidential conversations. It was a story which began last night when the president, seeking to avoid, he said, constitutional confrontation, decided not to appeal court orders to turn over the tapes, and instead said he would make summaries available. He thus ordered Cox, as an employee, he said, of the executive branch, to cease court actions in the case. But that ran afoul of the written guidelines exacted for Cox during Senate Judiciary Committee hearings on the nomination of Richardson to be Attorney General.
In writing, Richardson had promised to give Cox full authority as the Watergate Special Prosecutor and orally pledged he would not interfere with Cox's decisions. Even last night, Cox was quick to remind President Nixon of those promises.
The instructions are made in violation of the promises which the Attorney General made to the Senate when his nomination was confirmed. For me to comply with the instructions would violate my solemn pledge to the Senate and the country to invoke judicial process to challenge exaggerated claims of executive privilege. I shall not violate my promise.
And this afternoon, in a nationally broadcast news conference, Cox said the summaries of the conversations would not be admissible in court, and he promised to continue acting under his guidelines, to go back to the courts, to tell them what he sees as a non-compliance by the president with court orders.
One form of procedure would be to seek an order to show cause why the respondent should not be adjudicated guilty of contempt. I think it may also be possible, and perhaps might be preferable, to seek a further order clarifying any possible doubt resulting from the president's statement last night.
That occurred at 1 o'clock Washington time. By late afternoon, President Nixon was ordering the discharge of Cox. But then occurred the extraordinary series of events, all reported shortly before 8:30 tonight by White House News Secretary Ronald Ziegler. The president had called in Richardson. Richardson said he could not fire Cox because of his obligation to the Senate and resigned. Deputy Attorney General William Ruckelshaus then was told to fire Cox. He refused. And Ruckelshaus, in the words of Ziegler, like Mr. Cox, has been discharged. Finally, it was the Solicitor General, Robert Bork, now named Acting Attorney General, who delivered the orders to Cox and who was also charged with transferring the Special Prosecutor's Office back into the regular Justice Department framework. The Office of Special Prosecutor, said Ziegler, has been abolished. This despite the distrust evidenced 5 months ago by the Senate of the government in effect investigating itself in the Watergate affair. Until the events of tonight, the man standing ready to check the accuracy of those summaries of the taped conversations at President Nixon's request was the veteran senator from Mississippi, Democrat John Stennis. Tonight, Stennis one of the first to speak out on the resignation of the Attorney General.
Well, I regret very much the resignation of Secretary Richardson, whom I'd learned to respect very much. I was surprised, too, at this resignation, and it came unexpected to me.
For a time, it appeared the appointment of Stennis had driven a wedge between Cox and the Senate Watergate Committee. Stennis was acceptable, very much so, to Chairman Ervin and to Vice Chairman Howard Baker, and Ervin understood he would get verbatim transcripts of selected portions of those conversations rather than just summaries. He felt that that would serve the committee's purposes, if not Cox's. But tonight, Ervin is now talking of the Congress going to its own special prosecutor.
Congress undoubtedly has the power under the Constitution to establish a special congressional investigating committee. That's been held by the Supreme Court many times. And Congress has the power to prescribe who is going to prosecute a case, just as it did in the Teapot Dome case, where they took it out of the hands of the Justice Department and put it in the hands of an independent prosecutor by a statute. But, of course, Congress, any statute that Congress passes is subject to a veto. I would favor the passage of a statute that would establish an independent prosecutor in these particular cases, just as was done in the Teapot Dome case.
Reaction to the discharge of Cox from another member of the Watergate Committee, Democrat Daniel Inouye of Hawaii.
I'm certain the Congress will not just sit by and treat this as business as usual, because the appointment of Mr. Cox was not the ordinary appointment. It came about after consultation with the members of the Congress of the United States. And so I'm certain that most of the members of Congress will feel that they should have been involved in the firing process, if any.
The sudden changes at the Justice Department bringing comment also from Democrat Alan Cranston, the senator from California.
I'm shocked and startled, as I'm sure every American is, by the events that have unfolded in Washington today. The resignation of Mr. Richardson and Mr. Cox and Ruckelshauser being fired seems to me to mean that three of the very best men in the Nixon administration have been ousted from it, because they put loyalty to the law of our land above loyalty to Richard Nixon, unlike Mr. Ehrlichman and Mr. Haldeman and others who were involved in the Watergate affair.
Senator Edward Kennedy, the Democrat of Massachusetts, is a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, which will be called upon to approve the next attorney general. Kennedy tonight called Cox's firing a reckless act of desperation by a president who is afraid of the Supreme Court, who has, said Kennedy, no respect for law and no regard for men of conscience. The burden, he said, is now on Congress to nullify this historic insult to the rule of law and to the nation's system of justice. Even before the firing of Cox, Kennedy had joined three other Democratic members of the Senate Judiciary Committee in charging that the instructions to Cox had violated an agreement on the role of special prosecutor. Senator Philip Hart of Michigan, Birch Bayh of Indiana, John Tunney of California, and Kennedy had issued the joint statement asking Richardson for an explanation. Of course, tonight, Richardson has now resigned with the instructions given to him to fire Cox. There is the further question, what effect will this shakeup in the Justice Department and the dispute over the Watergate tapes, what effect will it have on the congressional confirmation proceedings of the new vice president-designate, Gerald Ford? That's a question that the Republican Senator Percy of Illinois addressed himself to.
There isn't any question but what the Congress has a constitutional responsibility. The first constitutional responsibility we have now is the confirmation proceedings of Gerald Ford. And I would anticipate that the proceedings now will take an entirely different tone and character. I think the president, by this action, has severely placed in jeopardy the expeditious handling of the confirmation proceedings for Gerald Ford.
Ford earlier had spoken out in support of the compromise, the summaries of the taped conversations offered last night by President Nixon. There really has been little time for reflection on the fast events of this Saturday, but we have called in two of our correspondents, Daniel Shore, who has covered the Watergate story from the Senate viewpoint, and Fred Graham, who has covered it from the Justice Department viewpoint, and ask Daniel Shore and Fred Graham for their reflections.
Fred, there is an irony here. Only today, Cox noted that President Jackson had to appoint three secretaries of the Treasury in order to get one act accomplished, and now it seems there had to be three attorney generals before they could get Cox fired. And I guess the first question is it legal? I guess it is legal. The man is acting attorney general.
Well, it's legal, but it's certainly unprecedented. Robert Bork woke up this morning as Solicitor General of the United States, and a rather green one at that. He started last June. And suddenly, tonight, he finds himself as acting attorney general of the United States. But I would say in some difficulty right at the start, Dan.
Well, the difficulty seems clear. We've talked to as many senators as we can reach, and Senator Baker says amazing, surprising, is going to precipitate further debate in Congress. And, of course, every senator you talk to at this hour reacts about the same way. I suppose the question they will have to face is there'll have to be a new attorney general appointed, and what's going to happen to that attorney general when he comes up before the Senate Judiciary Committee?
Well, who is he going to be? Who will accept an appointment as attorney general at this point when the attorney general has been sacked in one day, his replacement by law, the deputy attorney general, William Ruckelshaus, was sacked because he apparently wouldn't fire Cox, and then Robert Bork did. Nothing like this has ever happened in the history of this country, and the implication will be for the new nominee that he, too, will have to go along with the fact that the special prosecutor, if there is a new one, will be under the thumb of the administration.
Ronald Ziegler, speaking for the president, has said that while the Watergate task force, which Cox headed, has now been abolished, and as you know, the FBI has now sealed it off, including all its records, Still, Ziegler says, quote, the Watergate prosecution will continue vigorously, unquote. Do you think that under these circumstances there can be a vigorous continuation of that prosecution?
Well, of course, you'll have to have an attorney general first. And the question of his credibility in these circumstances is going to be highly suspect. It seems to me that you have to go back, Dan, to the basis of what we're discussing here. The president said in the first instance that he would not release the Watergate tapes because of a principle of confidentiality, that if he did, people would be leery of speaking frankly to the president. Now, that's important, but I do believe that at this point, reasonable people are going to wonder if that's the real reason why the president has sacked two attorneys general in one day and precipitated the kind of crisis we have tonight, or if perhaps maybe those who say that those tapes may show something that the president doesn't want to come to light, maybe that could be the reason. And I think that is what the new attorney general is going to have to deal with.
We are now without a vice president, and there is every sign that the deliberate speed that was going to be applied to the confirmation of Gerald Ford as vice president will become more deliberate yet. There's going to be difficulty, as you suggested, finding a new attorney general, and if he's found, getting him confirmed. And one wonders whether the government can limp along in this depleted fashion.
Well, sure, and it seems to me that right now the Senate, with its Democratic majority, and they must be up in arms, has the upper hand. You cannot enforce the laws very long with an acting attorney general who was suddenly raised from nowhere in the course of a sunny Sunday, Saturday in Washington. And at some point, they're going to have to bring the whole situation back into the framework of our Constitution.
Quite a Saturday. For Fred Graham, this is Daniel Shore, CBS News, Washington.
Quite a Saturday, too, for Elliot Richardson, who has been regarded as President Nixon's chief fireman, as it were. You'll recall he went very rapidly from Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare to the Defense Department as Secretary there very briefly, then was put in the Justice Department job as the Watergate tidal wave was beginning to break and as Attorney General Richard Kleindienst felt it necessary to resign because he would be prosecuting some friends of his. And now Richardson is out. Resigned rather than carry out orders to fire Archibald Cox, the special prosecutor, Richardson saying he had to honor his promises made to the United States Senate. Attorney General. But the Deputy Attorney General, William Ruckelshaus, who you'll recall also served as temporary chief of the FBI, Ruckelshaus refused to fire Cox, and he was discharged by President Nixon. This has been a CBS News special report. Departures from the Justice Department, the latest chapter in Watergate. I'm Neil Strauser, CBS News.